One of the things to come out of the week this week was your PDMP bill that had been voted down by a committee. The same committee brought it back up this week and has sent it now to the full Senate.
Yeah, so we had talked about this, I think, in an interview a few weeks ago. The committee that the PDMP bill was sent to is a 7-member committee. We knew we had 3 yes votes in favor of that legislation. And by the way, PDMP is the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program. So it's the program that would monitor opioid dispensing in the state of Missouri. And the idea behind it is it would cut down on opioid abuses and death. The bill was originally referred to committee. One of the 4 members who was going to vote in favor of it had a health issue and wasn't able to make it to the committee. The committee chairman, I think, didn't realize that there were not 4 votes to get it out without her being present. And so they went ahead and voted it, and it was a tie vote, which has the impact of it not passing out of committee. And so I approached one of the senators this last week and asked him if he would be willing to do a motion to reconsider and to bring the issue back up. It requires one of the people who voted no on the measure to make the motion to reconsider, which makes it a little bit complicated because they're essentially saying, I'm going to give this thing another chance at passing, even though it's something that I voted against and have philosophical issues with. Giving his colleague who missed the vote, who wanted to vote yes for it, the opportunity to come back and vote yes. And so very thankful for him doing that, thankful for his friendship, and I'm happy we were able to get that across the finish line through the committee.
Another one of your bills I know that you heard in education this week is the student curator bill, Senate Bill 265.
Yeah, so the student curator bill is something that's near and dear to my heart. I served about a decade ago as the student representative to the Board of Curators. All state universities have a non-voting student member on the governing board, and the University of Missouri system, which is 4 different campuses, is the same. So I served in that position when I was in law school, and back in 2008, whenever I was serving in that position, we passed the bill out of the House and Senate, and it went to the governor's desk, and it was one of only 2 bills in the 2008 session that the governor vetoed. And so it's funny how things come full circle, because here I am, you know, over a decade later, and I'm serving in the Senate, and now I'm sponsoring the bill and testifying on the same piece of legislation I testified on 10 years ago whenever I was a student. That bill is just something that's fun to get to be back here, you know, talking about again as a member of the legislature. I think it's an important bill because students have increasingly been bearing the brunt of the university's budget. It's been a continuing trend since the early 2000s that state appropriations to the University of Missouri have been cut, and as a result of that, student tuition and fees has grown at a rate greatly exceeding inflation. And so now, where it used to be that the majority of the funding for the university came from the state, now the majority of the funding comes from students and their fees. And so my point to the committee was, if the university were a private corporation and the students were shareholders, they would be entitled to a majority of the votes on the board of directors of that corporation. The University of Missouri Board of Curators has 9 members. The students are asking for only 1 of 9 votes. And to me, that seems more than reasonable. Typically, the student curators historically have been graduate and professional students. So people who are pursuing their PhDs, law students, medical students, dental students, people who are in master's programs. These are bright students or mature students. They understand the issues and the dynamics that are at play on the board. And I think they bring a lot of value to the board. And to me, it just makes sense that they should have an opportunity to cast a vote.
One of the bills heard in your Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence Committee, Senate Bill 297, changes the age for jury duty.
It does, yes. We heard it in committee last week, voted it out of committee this last week. What the bill does is it says if you're 75 or older, you can be exempted from jury duty. It's not a mandate. So if you're 75 or older and you want to serve, then you can. It just makes it a presumption that you're entitled to be excluded from jury duty if you want to. And this is to help senior citizens, people who may have a little bit more difficulty sitting through, you know, a week or an 8-week long jury trial. Trials can take a long time. The days are very long. There's a lot of travel back and forth. Senior citizen who was in his community who had to drive a really long distance to be able to get to jury duty. It just proved to be a real hardship on this individual juror. And so to me, this is a way that we can, you know, lessen some of those burdens on our senior citizens. Again, if they have an interest and a desire to serve on a jury, they still have the opportunity to do that. But this gives them the flexibility and ability to get out of jury duty if it's a hardship for them.
This was the first late night for the Senate this week on Senate Bill 7, a version of tort reform. It took about 14 hours.
It did. So we've had a couple of filibusters this session, but we've never had a late night filibuster. And this one started at about 2 o'clock whenever we gaveled in, and we did not finish session until 6:30 a.m. the following day. It was a tort reform bill. I'm the only practicing attorney in the caucus and chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And as a consequence of that was, even though it was not my bill, I was very involved in a lot of the negotiations that were happening both on and off the floor throughout the evening. So while there may have been a handful of senators that were able to go back to their office and sleep. I was actually up all night. And yesterday, whenever I came in, having only slept a couple of hours, I was really feeling it. So I'm happy to be back to having had a full night's sleep. But it was a bill that had to do with venue and joinder reform. And the basic issue was there was a loophole in the state's venue joinder laws that allowed plaintiffs from out of state who had no real contacts with the state of Missouri. In other words, they didn't buy a product here. They weren't injured here. They were able to join together with plaintiffs who were in the city of St. Louis and able to bring their lawsuits here. And so what we've had is we've had this flood of lawsuits of out-of-state plaintiffs coming into the city of St. Louis. And the city of St. Louis has really kind of become America's courtroom. And that's a problem. We don't need to be, you know, utilizing all of our judicial resources, clogging up our courts. People who have been injured should be bringing their cases back in their home states where their injuries occurred, not coming here to Missouri. And so that was the purpose behind the bill. I'm happy we were able to get it across the finish line. Ironically enough, the Supreme Court, the Missouri Supreme Court, issued an opinion on the venue joinder issue just a week before we took the bill up, which made things in a way easier, but also more complicated because we were sort of negotiating around the edges of that Supreme Court decision. But ultimately, we got the bill done. We didn't get everything that I wanted in the bill, but I think we have a good piece of legislation and certainly something that moves the state in the right direction.